Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm John Hare, pinch hitting today for our host and founder, Charles Showalter. Happy to be here and especially happy to be talking to our guest. And we're so glad to have Kristen Rowe Finkbeiner here from Moms Rising. Hi, Kristen. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
What kind of talking points are on your agenda today?
Oh, my gosh. There is so much going on in the United States of America.
Yeah, too much.
A couple of things we're thinking about is making a list of the most important wins we've had thus far in the presidency of the malignant Cheeto. And then we have five actions this week. Moms Rising has five actions every week, so we can talk about which are the top five actions this week.
All right. Sounds great.
You want to talk about wins?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's start with the wins.
Okay, hold on. I'm pulling them up. We've been pulling them together this morning, people. This is a very exciting time to be looking back and saying, wow, we thought that when the malignant Cheeto won a place in the Oval Office, that we actually wouldn't win a lot of public policies. And we are definitely losing some. There's definitely a fight on, but we are winning many battles. And I can't tell you how excited I am about that. First and foremost is the battle that we are winning relating to health care. The Republicans in Congress and Donald Trump promised that the first thing they would do on day one when they got into the Oval Office was to repeal the Affordable Care Act. And then their replacement idea, the Trump Care idea, would actually have rescinded, taken away health care coverage to 25 million people. Mm-hmm. And so people from Moms Rising, people from unions, people from all kinds of organizations attended town halls, made call after call after call, really stood up, spoke out, sent letters, signed petitions. And in fact, that is now no longer happening at the moment. We do think it's going to be like Freddy Krueger. It's going to rise again. For those of you who watched horror movies decades ago, this is definitely a horror movie situation where the villain is not, you know, completely taken out. So it's going to rise again in a bunch of different ways. It's going to rise again. We're really concerned about Medicaid being really hit hard. Medicaid covers a heck of a lot more people than the Affordable Care Act, even tens of millions of people. And there's already talk of block granting it and per capita capping it, which sounds kind of okay and fine, but it's completely not. It's really about you know, cutting up to 33% of spending in that area. So that, and then there could be an all-out assault again on the Affordable Care Act. So that's one of the biggest wins. And what were you doing when you saw that that battle was won? Were you so excited?
Yes, although with the knowledge that part of the reason why we didn't fully win was because there were some people that were on the other side that didn't like it either because the Trump proposal didn't go far enough. So in some ways, we have to know that still out there are people that want to kill it altogether, and they're still working hard. And probably the president is working hard to try to find a way to accommodate those people if he can, on the one hand. And on the other hand, the Republicans in Congress that understand that if they do away with health care for their constituency, they're going to lose their elections, they're on the other side. So the politics of it are still there. And by and large, the victory was a victory for us because we were out there demonstrating and testifying before our Congress people, letting them know the effect it would have. But as you say, we can't sit on our laurels on this one.
We also have to, though, pat ourselves on the back a little bit.
Absolutely.
Going into this election, we had the lowest voter turnout in 20 years, right? People thought it didn't matter if they voted. It didn't matter if they raised their voice. Well, we have actual, absolute evidence that it does matter that we need to keep it up. Democracy isn't about one day, one vote, one piece of legislation, or one Oval Office. And keeping it up is important because these policies are going to come up again and again, and we have to protect them again and again.
Yep. Yep. Got anything else on your list there? Let me see.
On my list? Okay, hold on one second.
Let me see if I can think
of
something.
I'm actually sending around the list to other people to edit at the same time. Well, here's a big win in the category of holy noodles. Something historic happened. Let's pat ourselves on the back and make sure it keeps happening. The United States of Women marches happened, and they had more participants combined in the hundreds of marches that happened the day of inauguration than
amazing.
Any other marches in the history, known history. And what's exciting about that, particularly to our point about staying engaged, is that 60% of those folks who marched had never been directly engaged in politics before in the past. And that is a huge big deal, to have more people engaged in democracy, just again reflecting back on that 20-year low of voter engagement that we had in the 2016 elections. And so people are realizing that democracy is more than just voting. You know, it's about what we're talking about, making those phone calls, attending those town halls, telling your elected leaders how the policies really impact you and your family. And so that was a huge win that many people got engaged, and that many people got engaged for the first time. So we're really excited about that and just want to take a breath to say, you know, that is a big deal.
Yeah.
Did you march?
It's definitely a big deal. And I think we're seeing, on the electoral end, I think we're seeing some indications that the tide is beginning to turn. We're not there by any means, but the congressional elections in Kansas and most recently the primary in Georgia, we've seen in districts that were dominated in the double digits by Republicans in the past, where the Democratic candidates have done considerably much better than in the past, which indicates that some Trump voters are changing their minds.
We can see that also, you know, in the early elections that are happening, those special elections. We can also see it in the percentage of folks who supported overturning the Affordable Care Act.
That's
only
right.
17% of people actually supported that.
That's right.
And so one of the reasons, you know, is that it wasn't conservative enough, which is what you said, mm-hmm. for some of those in the Freedom mm-hmm. Caucus on the Republican side of the party. But I think the bigger reason is that the majority of members of Congress did not want to go on record
right.
as voting for something that only 17% of people supported.
That's right.
And so we are seeing big switches when people, as Donald Trump has so interestingly said, realize that, oh, this is a lot harder and more complicated than I thought it was going to be. Well, yeah, healthcare is complicated. And for example, in healthcare, nobody said it was perfect, the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
Nobody, you know, that even worked on it, like we worked on passing it, has said it was perfect. And even Hillary Clinton in her campaign was like, we need to fix this and improve it. And I think everybody's in agreement that we need to improve it. But when they come to just repealing it and, you know, cutting tens of millions of people off, then we see those low 17% numbers, and that's really what's also propelling people to, you know, come out to vote against elected leaders who have who are running for office and who have embraced those policies.
All right, Kristen.
That Donald Trump has championed.
Yeah, we're going to take a break now, and we'll be back talking to Kristen Rowe Finkbeiner. Some more of Moms Rising. I'm John Hare. This is the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
Members of Congress return to the Capitol next week for budget negotiations, and what they decide could have a big impact on children and where they go after school. Under the Trump budget proposal, funding for 21st Century Community Learning Center grants, which help fund after-school and summer programs across the nation, is cut completely. Washingtonians involved with these programs say they will hurt a lot of students. Carolyn Griffin Bugert, grant coordinator for Wenatchee School District, says there are 5 years of statistics in her district that show after-school programs are helping children succeed.
There are very few academic programs that can really say that statistically we've got a strong correlation between what we're doing in a program and what student outcomes are.
CCLC programs received more than $1 billion in fiscal year 2017, providing programming for 1.6 million children, nearly three-quarters of whom come from low-income families. The state of Washington receives about $16.5 million annually, which serves more than 15,000 children in the state. The administration's budget director, Mick Mulvaney, says the programs have not proved to help kids in school. However, After School Alliance data shows for each dollar invested in after school and summer programs, more than $9 is saved by increasing kids' learning potential and improving their performance in school. Coordinators in the field point to the other effects, which are equally as important and impact students' academic success. Kim Hoag with Youth and Family Link in Longview says kids, especially those from low-income families, get experiences that make them more confident in the classroom.
part of making our kids more successful and part of making them feel like they belong and they have a right to raise their hand in class and a right to be part of conversations is giving them the experiences to be able to talk about.
Griffin Bugert says funding for these programs is critical to give the children of working families opportunities they might not otherwise have.
We kind of assume that all children have access to the same enriching experiences, and they absolutely don't. And without something like an after-school program, bringing these extra enrichment opportunities to our low-income, most at-risk students, their lives are much smaller.
For Washington News Service, I'm Eric Tegedov.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got a lot of food in this country. We've got so much food that we can't eat it all. So how are 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger? That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to hungry kids who need it. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college, which ends up making the future better for all of us. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
I'm Edward James Olmos, and I'm here with my local letter carriers to remind you that Saturday, May 13th is the annual Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive. You can help in the fight against hunger, and it's easy. Just leave a bag of non-perishable food by your mailbox on Saturday, May 13th, and your letter carrier will do the rest. All food collected goes directly to food banks and pantries in your local community. So on Saturday, May 13th, please join me and the National Association of Letter Carriers and stamp out hunger.
Hey, welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm John Hare, pinch hitting for Charles Showalter, our founder and usual host, but happy to be here and happy to be talking with Moms Rising, Kristen Rowe Finkbeiner. Hi, Kristen. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Okay, good. The first section, we were talking about some things that we can pat ourselves on the back a little bit in pretty troubled times, but there's also work to do. And you mentioned that you've been compiling your list of five things that we can all do over the next week or so. What are you looking at?
Well, this week, we have a new five things every week, sadly. This is really a situation where it's an all-hands-on-deck situation. And I want to share with the listeners, as I talk about these things, that you don't have to do all five actions every week. You don't have to do all five actions at the same time. There are millions of people out there along with you taking action. So if you can do what you can, when you can, it is definitely all adding up, which is why I wanted to talk about the solutions part, that some things are really having a big impact.
Mm-hmm.
This week, our first action of the week is to send a list of questions to Congress. You can go to momsrising.org. And you can look at our five actions, or you can go on Twitter or Facebook and just do hashtag five actions and find them and find a link to sign on to a letter of questions for Congress. And this is really for people who would have wanted to attend a town hall or to go to a meeting with a member of Congress while they're on recess right now, but could not, not actually do that because of work or family conflicts or other. So you can go ahead and sign on to that, and we're delivering those directly to Congress so that they can answer those questions for people who can't be there at the town hall. The next action we have is really about, actually, it is in New York City. So some of our actions are focused on a certain geographic area, because a lot of wins, when we're talking about wins, we talked about a couple national wins, but a lot of wins are happening at the state level right now. So while we're really playing defense at the national level, we're still having forward momentum at the state level. And we're looking at, in New York City, urging Mayor de Blasio to keep fighting for justice for victims of police brutality, which is a very important issue. No mom or dad or anyone should have to fear a loved one or a child could be harmed at the hands of those charged with protection. And really, too often, that's still happening. So we're still fighting there, and people can take action on that. Another action this week is on affordable child care. Along with all of the other disasters that are happening in our country right now, childcare is costing more than college in most states in our nation. And so we're urging Congress to pay attention to the national budget, not eviscerate any funds for childcare because it's already too many parents are scraping by on this, and to really lift up childcare at the state level. So that's another policy area. I'll stop there so we can chat about any of those if you want.
Well, let's talk about childcare because one of the issues, I believe, is that if we want people to be able to work, and if that means all members of the family to be able to work or to have an opportunity to work to earn an income, because as most of us know, to be able to support a family usually takes more than one paycheck, sometimes two or three with the children involved. But there needs to be a way in which the children are taken care of while both spouses work, and that's childcare. So how can we do that unless we have affordable childcare? How can people have the opportunity to earn a wage that'll support a family without the ability to have affordable childcare? And that's why that is so important in terms of not cutting back and really expanding the funding for services that would provide affordable, safe childcare for our working families.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important. I mean, and also the other issue is there's childcare workers are some of the lowest paid workers of any workers in our nation. So really, parents need safe, enriching places for their children to be so they can go to work, as you said.
Yeah.
Children need safe, enriching places to be so they can thrive. You know, those early years, early learning is a time when your brain development mm-hmm. is just through the roof with new brain cells actually
right. Right. Every day. Yeah.
New pathways emerging, and we have to be able to pay child care workers living wages. So we have a access, affordability, and quality issue that really surrounds child care workers, parents, and children, which is why really one of the only answers to this crisis, because parents can't pay any more. I mean, it's already cost more than college, and childcare workers can't be paid any less. They already earn an average of $18,000 a year, is really investing resources in childcare and making community investments in childcare. Nobody's getting rich off childcare. If you're wondering about this right now, nobody is getting rich. And so it really takes that investment, just like we've invested in our K-12 system, which is why we're looking at, you know, protecting the programs that we have so far in the budget, expanding them, and really educating a lot of leaders about the extreme impact of the lack of access, affordability, and excellence in childcare right now. So it's a big deal. In the good news department, the return on those investments is sky high.
Yep.
For every $1 in, studies show that for an average child, you're getting $7 back later on. And for a child who's in a high-risk situation, you're getting up to $20 back. You can't get that on the stock market usually. So it's a good return on investment for taxpayers, communities, and families.
Great investment, just like job training, education, a great investment.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely.
Why we support governments that can develop programs and the resources to do it. Hey, Kristen, we're kind of getting close to the end of our program, but actually I thought of a good thing that we should all celebrate as well, and it was, you mentioned New York City, but I was thinking about the New York State announcement. It kind of was quietly announced in our section of the country, which is Western Pennsylvania, but New York State announcing that they will fund free of charge tuition for every high school graduate in that's a resident of the state of New York, and who will work in the state of New York after they graduate from their supported college. And this is a program that is heading in the right direction as far as I can see. And while many states are bemoaning public investment, New York State legislators are willing to make that investment in supporting their high school graduates to go to college, and they will provide a substantial portion of their tuition for free. I find that very optimistic and a really good sign that there can be other models here that we can support.
Absolutely. We did a giant cheers, standing ovation, happy dance. If my kids were home, they would have been embarrassed about my glee. But yeah, it's pretty good. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, Kristen, let's talk about anything else that might be things that our listeners can do.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there is so much that can be done. This week in particular, there are still members of Congress home holding town halls. So if you have a member of Congress, and everybody does, you have three, actually. You have two U.S. senators and one representative. Mm-hmm. So there's ample opportunities. You can pick your favorite or least favorite one. Call their home office, their in-district office. You can just go online and put their name in. And if you don't know who the name is, you can go online, put your zip code in, and find out who they are. And then call their district office, find out when their town hall is, and go and either thank them if they're doing a good job. This is important. The power of a thank you is huge.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of good members of Congress who are coming under fire in their caucuses. It's not the easiest job in the world this year. And thanking your member of Congress goes a long way to keeping them fired up and keeping them fighting and fueling their energy to keeping up the resistance. It's very, very important. Or ask them, if they're not doing the right thing, to stand up for health care, to stand up for families, to make sure that the budget that goes through doesn't eviscerate our economy and our families and our workers. And so really doing that, I think, is one of the most important things people can do this week. And so, again, either thank or, you know, tell them what needs to be done.
And coming up is May 1st is going to be coordinated actions all around the country in support of public education. And the theme is build schools, not walls. And
yes,
the discussion for the $26 billion going into building a wall to prevent people from coming across that border, $26 billion. These demonstrations are saying, let's invest that money. Imagine what we could do using that money to be invested in our public school system, where the people that are here in our public schools are looking at fewer and fewer resources, and the parents are having trouble, as you mentioned, paying for the child care at home as well. So our members can look at that, those demonstrations that are happening. They can look it up under the slogan, support public educations, build schools, not walls. So that's one thing that can happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, let's just talk about this wall for a brief moment. It is ridiculous. One of the elected leaders in Mexico actually climbed a similar wall and, like, sat up there and was like, yeah, what is this wall doing? I mean, it's really a stupid idea. Can I just say that? It is the stupidest waste of billions of dollars. If you did want the border to have a wall, that's not the way to do it. I mean, and I don't, honestly. I mean, when we're looking at what's happening with immigration right now, the situation is not one where we're having massive floods of people coming over the border undocumented. That's just not the case anymore when you look at the data, or maybe never was. But so the description that Donald Trump is having of our immigration situation is not accurate. And since it's not accurate, his solution idea is not a solution to anything.
No, so not at all. Hey, Kristen, we're gonna have to go quickly. Can you tell our listeners how they can tune into Moms Rising? We know they can hear it on Union Edge, but how about a website reference?
Oh, they can just go to momsrising.org. They can get to the radio show. They can get to the blog. They can get all around and hear everything and write and just be fully engaged. So momsrising.org.
Kristen, great talking to you. We'll talk to you again. You've been listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.